for the word? I don't hear the excitement. Are you ready for the word? That's better. The Bible tells us that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So if you're expectant this morning, be ready to receive from this wonderful woman, our pastor, amazing woman of the word, Pastor Jo.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you. The entrance of your word brings light into our lives. Thank you, Lord God. Just shut your eyes and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, do something new today, I pray, in every one of our hearts and lives. Father, speak to us in a way that each of us can understand and receive and be transformed. Just put your hand on your heart and let me lead you in prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, I want to grow. I want to be transformed. I want to be more like you. So speak to me, Lord. My heart is open. I'm ready to receive. I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's put our hands together for Jesus one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Please take your seats. Where's Elizabeth gone? There you are. You see, my husband said about Friday, I'm a woman under authority. And he said, take the microphone back at 2:45. And so I'd also, you know, shared and said 2:45. So at 3:45, I'm now in a total pickle saying, I did mention 2:45, but God's moving, but I'm a woman under authority. So you can imagine I spent an hour going, what do I do, Lord? My husband said, and I always do what my husband says, but I was ready to call him. I thought, I cannot wake him up. He would not thank me for waking him up at 2, which is why at 3:45... I eventually said, look, yes, hallelujah, praise God. Well, I believe that God wants to speak to each one of us. You know, I love the journey of transformation. I love in my own life to be able to look back, and I encourage you to do this. Look back every few months. I do it. I remember Joyce Meyer once saying, for every 3 steps forward, you need to stop and just look back and see where you've come. You know, and it's really important that we can see constant transformation on the inside of us. It's really important that we are able to look and see, okay, yeah, I can really see change here. You know, it's like the principle of feedback that, you know, every single time that I minister and my husband is sitting there, he feeds back to me. Every time he ministers and I'm sitting there, I feed back. You know, feedback isn't something that we give to somebody who's not up to par. Feedback is something that enables us to grow. And I want to encourage you to become a person who is constantly seeking to grow. Constantly seeking to excel and to become more excellent in every single area of life, of marriage, of ministry, of family, in your workplace. You know, when we settle, we will never, ever achieve our potential. But when we are saying, I want to be a lifelong learner, how many of you are married? Wave at me if you're married. You know, when was the last time that you looked at what you are? No, in other words, how am I doing as a wife? I don't mean asking them, I mean asking yourself. How am I doing as a husband? You know, what have I done recently to grow in this area? What is it that I can do right now to become better in my work, better in my relationship with the Lord? You know, when was the last time you reviewed the way that you commune with God on a daily basis? When was the last time you, for example, for the first time ever, I regularly do read-throughs of the Bible. And I like to do it quite quickly because you get this overview. And so I'll maybe do for a season, if you do 10 chapters a day, it takes about 5 months. If you do 15 chapters a day, well, you can do the maths. And but this time I thought, I always do it in the New King James Version. Sounds a silly small thing, but I thought I'm going to do my next read through in the New Living Translation and just get a fresh view of the Word of God. What's my point? I want to encourage you right now, and as you cross the threshold into 2018, to be committed to constant growth in every area of life, family, relationship with God, ministry, so that we are those who are excelling. Are you hearing me? Because when we are growing, then we are excelling. There is no such thing as treading water, really. There is no such thing, really, as just maintenance. Because when we get into maintenance mode, we end up slipping back into complacency and just into a totally different kind of place. Because we shut down. We're made to be excellent like God's excellent. He's extraordinary God. And so when we are, you know, with all of our being seeking after that same spirit of excellence, then we're being like our daddy. And so we stay in that place of life and joy and health and well-being. So I want to encourage you in that area. And I really believe that as we do that, you know, not only do we grow, not only do we excel, but you know, we enjoy life more. Now, one area where we have to be constantly growing, and yet it's invisible to everybody else, is in the area of our thought life. You know, you will never break beyond the barriers that no one else can see that your thought life creates over you. You know the scripture, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a person, in the Amplified, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Amplified, there we are. As he, well, my online Amplified says a person. But as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, I remember when God showed that to me in a particular way. This is how I saw it. So my thoughts that are on the inside are like a projector. You know the old-fashioned projectors where, you know, I remember the first time I ever saw one in someone's home and I was like, wow, it was like a home cinema, you know. And it was at my cousin's house and they were showing a reel of footage of the children, you know, playing in the paddling pools. But you would have the projector and you would see the light shining across the room. You remember? And you've seen it in the movies. And then it will project onto the wall opposite. Well, that is what your thought life does. What is on the inside comes out of you and projects into the life that you now live. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your views, and the interesting thing, because I want to look at two types of thoughts. We've got heart thoughts, say heart thoughts. And then we've got head thoughts, say head thoughts. And they're different in terms of the impact that they have on our lives. Our heart thoughts are the things that I truly do believe. And a head thought are the things that affect my attitudes. Yeah, and as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And the thing about heart thoughts is that heart thoughts run very deep. Heart thoughts are often formed by the things that we've gone through. You know, whether it's having a hard life, you know, this is a real big one that the enemy will use. So you've grown up in hardship. You've grown up where you've had to work really, really hard to do well. And you know, you've seen your parents toil and you know, give everything to sort of, you know, just be able to break through and to make a certain, achieve a certain level. And what happens is you end up with a heart thought, with something on the inside that basically says, I can do okay, but I am going to have to work like a slave. I am going to have to, I can't remember the idiom, work like a, what's the idiom? Trojan. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to blood, sweat, tears, you know, labor. But that's not what the Bible says. Are you hearing me? And so as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so your view will be, well, if I work really, really hard, you know, if I put in hour upon hour upon hour, then I'm going to get a promotion. But the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south, that it comes from the Lord. And so you see, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so you may get promoted, but only with some major prices that you've had to pay to get there. Whereas God wants, yeah, diligence, absolutely essential. But the Bible says, Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Yes, we're called to be laborers, but let me tell you that if your life is feeling really, really difficult and really, really heavy, then you are not in the will of God. Ouch. Because Jesus said, my burden is and my yoke is. So if I am following the perfect will of the Lord Jesus for my life, then yes, I'm going to have to labor, but it's going to feel light and easy. Yes, there'll be seasons where we are fighting so hard, but you have to be able to bounce out of those seasons. You know, it was about 10 days ago. Some of you will have heard we were due to run our 20th Healed for Life, and my husband and I, we got back from Ireland at Monday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, we landed, something like that. I had been ministering all weekend. We were due to run Healed for Life Thursday and Friday. And then I get a call, and Marilyn said to me after she'd explained the situation, I should have checked whether you were sitting down. Thanks, ma'am. But she basically said, you know, that she'd had a call from Hailey, and there'd been an outbreak of an infectious vomiting bug, and Healed for Life is off. And I'm like, well, they didn't quite put it like that. They just said, you can't have the center. Well, you know, no venue. I mean, we're not going to sit in the garden. Do you know what I mean? Legs crossed singing Kumbaya. It ain't going to work. You know, so anyway, I'm kind of taking all of this in. And I mean, sort of made my way back with Pastor P to the house, and the first thing he said is, you know, right, let's try alternative venues. And, you know, we're on the phone for 3 or 4 hours. And literally, I mean, 2 days' notice, 90 people, overnight accommodation. You know, it's going to be a very slim chance that you're going to be able to rebook. And so, you know, by Monday evening, thank God for having a husband with such wisdom, but he just said, Joe, you're going to have to cancel. And so we got an email out to everyone who was booked. Marilyn was sending, I saw the last one went at 1 a.m. Bless your heart. Let's put our hands together for Marilyn. And I woke up the following morning. And when I opened my eyes, I just didn't even feel like getting out of bed. Now, what you've got to understand about me is I kind of do, I am one of those fairly annoying people that I really do often wake up happy. You know, I kind of wake up with a spring in my step, and I'm not saying I find it easy to get out of bed because my bed's all warm and there's a nice man beside me. You know, so I don't like getting up, but I tend to wake up just with a song in my heart or just joyful. And I woke up on Tuesday morning and after a few moments of lying there, awake, just staring at the wall that was saying, find your song and sing it, have a little plaque. And I thought, stuff you know. This little, my little postcard that framed. And I thought, I'm not finding no song right now. And I'm lying there. And I remember just after about 5-10 minutes, and I hadn't spoken yet to my husband. I'm just lying there. And I just thought, gosh, I wonder if this is what depression feels like. Because all I can say is I just felt the heaviness on me. You know, when you're just giving everything that you've got. And, you know, we'd already had a lot of battles that we'd been fighting over Healed for Life in America, and it felt like the UK was in a step, in a stride, in a momentum, and I just lay there. And for a fleeting moment, now, you know, I've heard many preachers say, and I felt like giving up, you know, time and time again. I'm thinking, wow, because that's not me. Only twice in 22 years of ministry have I ever even thought for a moment that I felt like giving up. And this was the second. It lasted about an eighth of a second, literally, before I booted it out and realized it was a lie. But I remember just with this like heaviness sitting on me, and then just kind of getting myself out of bed and just thinking, do you know what, I'm gonna take the dog for a walk and pray in a field somewhere. And so I took the dog and got into a love, you know, we live in the countryside, it's beautiful, and I spent a couple of minutes just pouring out all the kind of disappointment and the just disbelief. I just couldn't believe that the enemy had managed to pull this one. And for a couple of minutes, and then, you see, then I needed to deal with my thought life. Are you hearing me? I now needed, you see, what does the Bible say? It says, take captive every thought that in any way contradicts what the word says. And I've got chapter and verse about this ministry. I've got chapter and verse from heaven about what God wants to do. And so as I was, you know, I was on the first quarter of the walk, sort of halfway down the first side of this particular field, and I just started to say, you know what, I'm not having this. Do you know what, Satan, you can beat me up, but you can't push me down. You know what, you can do what you want, but somehow we're going to come back stronger. And you know, within a couple of days, I mean, we had a lot of work to do. We had to call every single person that had booked a space on Healed for Life. And I wanted to do that with our head of Healed for Life here in the UK, Rita. I wanted us to do that personally. So we spent an entire day on the phone. But within a couple of days, I was back, fully strong, full of joy. What's my point? You see, we can't be in faith if we haven't learned how to deal with our thought life. Your thoughts fuel your faith. Your words are even more powerful than your thoughts, but you're never going to get the right words out of your mouth if you haven't dealt with the thoughts that are in your heart. Are you hearing me? Our thoughts, they create everything. Your attitude is determined by your thoughts. Your state of mind is determined by your thoughts. What you think affects even whether you're smiling or grimacing, whether you're kind to the shopkeeper who's just made a mistake, or whether you're really rude. Of course, you never are. Your thoughts determine whether when the car in front, you know, suddenly takes a turn without indicating, whether you go, and then show all sorts of fingers, or whether you say, oh, well, I do that sometimes, because I know you do. It's so funny with driving. It's the one thing where when we get it wrong, we really want mercy. Oh, come on, everyone, what's your problem? Haven't you ever indicated late? Honestly, what is wrong with them? But then when it's them making the mistake, what is wrong with you? If you're not, go back to driving school. Get off the road. I'm telling the truth. But it all starts in our thoughts. It starts by, you know, what kind of attitude have we allowed to develop on the inside? Now, Rara, I just want to borrow you. I want to show you, you know, if we can put up that scripture that says 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, yes, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. Now, she even matches. So, you see, here is Roro. Now, she has an extraordinary amount of potential. I want you just to put your hand on your belly and just say, I'm full of potential. I am full of promise. There are no limits on me other than the limits I place on myself. I have incredible potential. So here's Roro's potential. And you see, our potential, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I'm thinking, you know, if part of her potential is that she's going to produce an album that's going to go around the world and bring a new sound to the body of Christ. Amen. You see, it's in seed form on the inside of her. Are you hearing me? And the kind of thoughts she's going to need in order to achieve that is things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The kind of thoughts she's going to need are the ones that are going to build her faith to enable this potential to become a reality. Now, what's your potential? What are the things that you really do know that if you really believed in it and that if everything lined up that you know you could achieve? Well, they're there on the inside of you. It's like Pastor said on Friday night. He said, inside Esther, there was a queen waiting to be given birth. Inside David, there was a king waiting to come out. On the inside of Daniel, he didn't mention this one, but there was a politician and a prophet waiting to emerge. Are you hearing me? Inside you. Now, I want to invite our... are you there, Andre? Wonderful. Here is Andre. Now, if you just stay there for 1 minute. Now, you see, the thing is, the Bible says, if we can, Amplified's fine then. No, please, can I have it in the New King James? New King James. The Bible says that we have to take captive every thought, right? Bringing every thought into captivity. Now, I want to ask you, and the kind of gentleman standing there is going to help you answer, but who are the kind of people that we want to capture? Who should be taken captive? Criminals. Yeah? Thieves. Absolutely. So, you see, the Bible is telling us that with these rogue thoughts, we need to take them captive. And it talks in the next verse, in verse 6, about punishment. Should we punish criminals? Yes. Right. You see, we've got to start to see our thoughts, the ones that are not going to help us achieve our potential, we've got to start to see them as criminals. They're our enemies. And many of them have been sown by disappointment. They've been sown by the enemy. The idea has popped into your mind, and it certainly didn't come from God, let me tell you that. And so here we have, you know, Roro represents every single one of us, right? That's her potential. But then along comes this robber. You see, he's a thief. And what's he going to do? He's going to give her a thought. And then he's going to grab that. Go on, go running off with it. You see, this is it. And so now, what's she believing? Here's someone who really believes I'm not good enough. Ever going to get an album around the world? You see, I mean, that's the truth. And for you, it might not be that. It might be, I don't really deserve to be in leadership. I don't deserve to be in leadership. I know where I've been and what I've done. I don't really deserve to stand on the platform. And yet God has on the inside of you a call to preach, a call to lead worship, a call to sing. Are you hearing me? And you see, the robber has taken, the thief has given us some thoughts and taken away our potential. Please start carrying on round. You can come round this way. You see, he's got our potential. What does the Bible say? Go back to verse 5, that we've got to take him captive. Go on, Roro. We've got to take every thought captive. And let me tell you, go across earlier, Roro. You can be a bit clever. You see, but this, keep going, keep tussling with her. Let me tell you, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. And you take that off. And you chuck that back at him. And you send him running. You see, it's a tussle. There's a war. I used to believe so many things about myself. I mean, for years, I looked like I had it together. But I didn't really believe I was good enough to be promoted at work. I always felt concerning work, goodness, one day they're going to find me out. I remember being offered pay packages and just thinking, oh my goodness, how embarrassing, I don't deserve that. Let me finish on this story. And some of you may have heard me share this. Please just stay for a moment. About 10 years ago, longer than that, so, gosh, time is ticking. About 20 years ago, yeah. At the end of 1999, I got a call, and somebody I'd once worked with, who was the chief executive within the UK of the world's biggest PR company, and he said, look, I know we've offered you a job before, we've tried to get you before, and we've not managed, but I've got something good. So can we have lunch? And I said, sure. Now, the amazing thing is I just felt a release in my heart to leave the job that I'd been doing for 5 years. And just literally a conversation the evening before I got that call made me realize it's time to leave. So this was like, wow, gosh, that was a bit quick. And so anyway, I spoke to my husband and I said, my goodness, you know, I've got this meeting and he wants to talk to me, and the impression I get, it's a board director position. At the time, I was director of communications at the Prince's Trust, and I was earning £40,000. And Paul said to me, he said, look, whatever they offer you, don't smile. Don't give away that's a good salary. That's what he was saying to me. So don't smile. He said, even if they offer you like £60,000, just don't smile. I'm okay. Okay, my love. Don't smile. Don't smile. So I go to meet this guy, and we're sitting in a restaurant, and I remember exactly what I was eating, seafood tagliatelle, and we're sitting opposite each other, and the man looks at me, and he says, well, I don't know what you're currently earning, and at that moment, I'm sort of, you know, looking at him, and then I think, I've got to not smile, so let me look down. So, you know, it might be easier. He said, I don't know what you're earning now, but I was thinking maybe a basic of £90,000 plus a car allowance of six, health, something else of six, can't remember what it was. And then, of course, you'll have your annual bonus, which, if things go the way they are, will be about £20,000. I'm staring at these prawns. They're looking at me. I'm saying, guys, you've got to help me out here. I couldn't even add it all up in my mind fast enough. I knew it was over 100,000, and I'm just like, ugh. this prawn's looking at me and I'm looking back at it. And Will, I'm like, you better not let me down, guys. We're in this together. Don't smile. So using every ounce of self-control, I eventually look up and I go, should be okay. We finish eating. I get out the restaurant. I start running. I'm running now practically towards Oxford Street. We're in central London. I'm running. As soon as there's no one in sight, I get my husband on the phone. Guess what? He's offered me. However, do you remember I said to you, I didn't feel like I deserved it. Felt like a fraud. A week later, I get a phone call. I know we offered you 90,000, but we want to revise our offer. Who does that? And we're going to drop it £10,000. And that night, we had a prophet coming for dinner. And I told him the story, and he turned to me, and he said, Joe, you don't think you're worth 90,000. And until you do, you won't get it. So my husband looked across the table and he said, sort your heart out, girl, and do it fast. Well, no, I got into the presence of God. We did a half job because my heart wasn't yet healed. That journey was going to happen. But I got into the presence of God. I repented for undervaluing myself. I repented for holding thoughts about myself that I wasn't worth much. Within 3 days, the £90,000 offer was back on the table. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want you to stand in the presence of God. Thank you, Roro. Thank you, Jesus. Joe, if I could borrow you on the keyboard. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want you to shut your eyes. I don't know what your views of yourself have been. I don't know in what areas, whether it's marriage where you've just thought there's no point trying anymore. And your thoughts, your inner thoughts have been limiting your ability to believe for a turnaround. Maybe it's in the area of family. Maybe it's in the area of promises that you know God gave you, but disappointment has caused you to give up on your potential and start to believe a lie. But whatever lies you're believing right now, I want to encourage you right now to just go to God and say sorry. Just tell him, Lord, I'm so sorry. Listen, do you know one of the symptoms of really believing that you're a failure is that you need to prove yourself to convince yourself you're a success. If you need to succeed to prove you're a success, God needs to do a work in your heart. Success does not make you a success. You already have the DNA of greatness on the inside of you. You're already a success because of whose you are. Thank you, Jesus. Just in these moments, just a minute more, just speak to the Lord. Father God, Lord, forgive us for where we've been thinking and believing the wrong thoughts. Forgive us, oh Lord. And now I want to see you just giving that thought up, those thoughts up. And now allow God to speak his word into your heart. Roro, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is no limit on where that can go, on where that ministry can go. You, whoever you are right now, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And not because you're going to work so hard that you somehow break the generational molds of before. No, but because the favor of the Lord surrounds you. His favor surrounds you. You are his. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And just before we finish, thank you, Lord God. If you're here today and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you once did, but you've backslidden on the inside. You're not walking with him anymore. And you're saying, I want to live my life to the full. I want to fulfill every ounce of God-given potential on the inside of me. You know, the first step is rededicating your life to Jesus. It's giving your life to him. If that's you, just while everyone is praying, would you lift up your hands so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Father, I speak your blessing over each person in this place. Father, thank you that your will shall be done as we allow the right things to grow on the inside. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God.